Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting now come to order. Apologies from the board for making you wait. We had an issue to deal with downstairs. Anybody has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now as not to disrupt the rest of the meeting, we'd appreciate it. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
None that I'm aware of, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any public comment regarding today's agenda? Can we now find get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
A second.
Today's regular agenda.
Okay.
There we go. We move the second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Moving along now to item number four, the consent agenda.
No.
Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I can get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second. Second.
Moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. This is discussion only. We'll take no action to public comments. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start on the right side of the room there with Sheriff Antonoro. James Dean, since you're on this side of the room, we'll have you come up next. Director of IT, nothing today? Okay. The director of community chess, the library, Eric.
Good morning, everybody. For the record, Eric Schoen, director of community chess. So I have two highlights. One, I think, just highlights the generosity of Story County residents. I wasn't able to make the last meeting. Apologize, just too many things on my plate, but our Angel Tree program had a record number of gifts this year. It was 120 gifts, and all of those were sponsored by somebody from within this community. And it was the easiest it's ever been for us, and I think it just speaks, like I said, to the generosity of the Story County residents to really take this program under their wing and support it. As well, we passed out around 40 holiday baskets, which is a higher number than we've trended in the last few years, so that was, we were glad to be able to do that too. The exciting news on top of that, the second reason I came up, is that we were blessed to receive a $150,000 gift from the Pennington Foundation, which enables us to finish the community center without having to utilize any debt, which is a huge relief for us, and it allows us to add back most of the, there were different rooms and things that we're going to have to leave unfinished. We don't have to do that now, so we're able to add those things back in. And so when it's done, hopefully by the end of March, that'll push it out a little bit. It'll be completely done and debt-free. So we're thrilled to share that news with you all as well.
That's great. Right around the corner.
Yep, right around the corner.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Any questions?
Questions, Rick?
Yeah. That's awesome. Pennington Foundation right. Really good.
Yeah. That's good. You guys did a perfect job down there. Thank you, Eric. Story County Recorder, Jim Chapman.
Good morning. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes here to kind of discuss the ongoing technological changes. Once we approve that contract with Tyler, now everything's kind of moving at record speed. And James and his team have been working diligently on the IT side of things, but you haven't had a real update from everything else that's been going on. So far, We've had a lot of changes, and right now we've just been busy kind of mapping out business processes, because with changes like this, everybody's process has to change a little bit. We can't apply the process that we've been using in the AS400 to directly apply to modern technology and modern computer programs. So we've been working on that, and then kind of looking at the goals and needs for the different offices. And of course, right now it's the recorder's office and the clerk's office, which will be followed by the comptroller's, which may affect everyone in the county here. So we've just been kind of going through the process, and we've already filled out all the paperwork as far as these processes. We're looking at developing the configuration right now, which a lot of this is pulling the data. We've already done a data pull, and we're going to have to do it again. We found some issues with some of the data, but we're working on that. We're going to get that resolved, and then we're going to do another data pull. But as we get more of these things processed and organized, we will continue to update you along with the group updates, and maybe have some sort of little presentation to bring you guys, everyone, up to speed and know exactly what's going on with this program. But, yeah, and if you had any questions, just feel free to ask.
Any questions for Jen?
No, not at this time.
Great. Thanks for the update, Jen.
Okay.
Great. Surrey County Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington.
Nothing at this time, except I've been around for a few more years. I found out Friday that I'm running unopposed.
So. Unopposed?
Yes.
All right. Cancel that sign order.
Yes. Thank you.
Congratulations, Judge. Director of the Virginia City Tourism Commission. Danny Johnson.
Gentlemen. Good morning. Denny Dotson with the tourism director for the Visitor Bureau here in town. I just handed the three copies that I had. I wish I would have brought more, but on last Thursday we unveiled the 2018 special event calendar. A couple of quick highlights in that to notice is there's a new item in there. It's the Cowgirl Saloon Crawl and Line Dancing Competition, something we'll do different, kind of in conjunction with the Reno Rodeo, that same time frame. We are bringing in a Hispanic-type Mexican rodeo on the Sunday of the weekend of rodeo. And then the other noticeable thing that you probably don't see in there is the Ferrari races. So the hill climb at this point is not being authorized. There have been some issues in the past, and honestly, with the impact of that event, we haven't seen a whole lot that's been beneficial for the town. There's been some good things. Obviously, give some money back to some of the small groups, but at this point, there's been some issues, so we're holding off on that. In the VCTC meeting, we talked about our successes for 2017 and our what we're looking forward to and working on 2018. One of them, just as a quick highlight, is a thing called beacons. Beacons are the new technology that will work with our mobile app for Virginia City. Instead of seeing signs everywhere marking a historical marker, a person would theoretically walk by with their mobile app, download the VC app, and you'd get a notification. The notification can play an audible recording of what the property or the history of the building, or give you a special if it was tied in with one of the merchants in town. So they're about the size of a rock. They affix up into alcoves and corners where you don't see them, and again, work with our mobile app. So some cool technology coming this summer. Budget season, we're starting to work on that specifically. And first of all, we worked with the comptroller. I think he's scheduled for February to bring it before the board, augmentation of a six-month budget for Pipers. So he'll bring that up to you. We are currently searching for a special event coordinator to fill a role there for us. And then finally, the V&T Railway Commission meets on the 25th next week. Be kind of a workshop, at least part of the meeting, to look at some things that we need to address specifically on the financial side. We've got some holes to plug, so we've got some hard decisions to make. And that's really all that I have at this time.
Any questions for Denny?
The Comstock Classic Car Show, you got it listed as a two-day event.
Right. we're hoping you'll increase those cars a little bit, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The two-day show. Yeah, just a typo. We took the dates that we had on there last year, so we might have made a typo on that.
Okay. A lot going on. That's great. Thank you for the update. We're our community relations, Sherry Nevin. Director of Planning, Human Resources, Austin Osborne.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you, Austin Osborne, for the record. A few things here. Give you down the Truckee River Flood Project. They're working on, obviously, flooding for the Truckee Meadows, Reno, Sparks, Washoe County. They have approached us to look at a 60% design review for a portion of the flood project that would impact Story County. That's what we've known for the last 10, 15 years is Vista Narrows, which is an area of the river right about past the Grand Sierra Resort. They're in Sparks and Narrows, and it pinches the river, floods upstream, and their plan is to widen that and then send that water down to Story County. And as we know, no secret, they want to raise the river up a foot in Story County, and then they want to abate any flooding that would occur in Rainbow Bend and the other Lockwood areas, as well as downstream all the way to Pyramid Lake. They are working on that 60% design right now, and at that point, then, we'll have an opportunity to re-review that and look at their options of how they want to design that, and we're making sure that the folks in Rainbow Bend and Lockwood, that their needs are met, and our position has been consistently that what those folks want is what we want as a county team. So if those folks down in the Truckee River Flood Project can sell an abatement project such as raising houses or levees or berms or whatever it is they propose down there already, and it's to the satisfaction of Rainbow Bend residents, then we would consider that. If it is not, then we would not consider that. So that's moving forward. Probably sometime this spring or this summer we'll have that 60% design to review. The Mark Twain Flood Project is still moving forward. Talked with Jeff Page, Lyon County Manager. We're going to share a portion of the cost, 60-40. The difference about $37,000 beyond what FEMA is going to provide for the flood study in that area. The entire cost is about $385,000 paid by FEMA. The $37,000 would be split approximately 60-40. We would pay approximately $15,000 pursuant to the board approval for the rest of that study to go ahead and look at the region and Mark Twain for flood abatement in the future. I hope I made sense on that. And this is the project we're working with the Carson Water Subconservancy District on. Speaking of Carson Water Subconservancy District, we're also working with that board or myself in becoming a higher level membership on that agency. And by doing so, we would have better access to FEMA funds for Mark Twain Flood Project, continued potential actual flood mitigation, such as installation of culverts and detention basins and easements and things like that throughout that community, money to help us with our flood ordinance. In fact, they've already working with me on working with us to completely comprehensively update our flood ordinances in Story County that may directly result in lower insurance rates for the people in Lockwood that are in the National Flood Insurance Program for the river. And then, as you know, every year we do the weed abatement program where we spray weeds all over the Carson River watershed and Mark Twain, Virginia City, whatever, better access to that. So that will also come to this board, but I want you to know that that's moving forward and there's a tremendous amount of moving parts in all of these things, and they're coming together pretty good. Health benefits, nothing's changed. It's still bad. Like I told you last time, and we've let our department heads know and our staff know if you need to get a procedure or something like that, this is the time to do it before April 30th when we go to renewal. We do believe that we will stay with Hometown Health, very likely because nobody else will bid for us because our experience rating is terrible at this point, and it just is what it is. It's nobody's fault. The tide happens to be high right now. This is typical in a company that you'll have cycles of a lot of claims, and then followed by two or three years of not very many claims. And when it's our turn to be in good, someone else out there in the world will, you know, be in the bad situation. But nevertheless, we're expecting premiums to go up, and we may have to readjust some of our benefits and all of that to try to adjust for them. We are working with LP Insurance as a team. The enrollment period is about now, all the way through April 30th, and I'll keep you updated on that process. As you know, you have approved about 50 or so personnel policies and administrative policies for our county, and appreciate that, and those have been customized to address little issues that we have in each of our, you know, daily operations, and there's about 50 more coming your way here, probably in the meeting, the next meeting or the one after it, and that should pretty much seal up all the county administrative policies, not only having compliant with federal regulations and those sorts of things, but addressing nuances that each of our departments face every day. That's it.
Great. Any questions for Austin?
Thank you
very much. Awesome. With the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. A couple of things. At your regular scheduled meeting next week, I am anticipating the six-month budget review to actual for all of the funds within the county and possibly some augmentations that we may want to do at that point in time, trying to get these as we we're trying to get them as we see them, or if there is something that comes up that we know we're going to have to do, I would rather do it sooner than later, as we did last year. We now have the accounting for Piper's Opera House, and as Denny said, we have we will get to be the accounting for the V&T Rail Commission. Denny explained that there was some issues, and I think it has to do with some accounting issues with reconciliations this year with the V&T, which makes what we did about 2.5 years ago a pretty good idea. I want to mention Pat and Chairman McGuffey and Langer for sitting. We sat down, we looked at it, we didn't like what we saw, and we said we're not going to give you any money. And so consequently, when all of this comes out, I think we'll all see that that was a very, very good decision on your part. In addition, last week we went to what an issue with the Government Financial Officers Association. It was a seminar regarding enterprise resource planning. Now, that's a big name for our old systems coming out and our new systems coming in, and, oh, my God, what are we going to expect? I mean, you know, it's Murphy's Law. I mean, if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. But these guys presented some plans that the project committee and myself really feel comfortable with. Change management, for example. I mean, we've got the ability right now to change how we do transactions, to make it almost paperless, but still have the same, you know, the same type of stuff that we can recall any of these things. So each one of the processes that we do within the county, we have the ability right now to perform it better than we did before. We're getting out of the dark ages, and we're getting into the 22nd century. So from that point, it's good. It's not that we wanted to do that because our vendor said, I'm getting out of the business. So a lot of the stuff that was taught or was given to us as far as the planning and design and the building and the testing of this was tremendous information, and I'm not concerned. I know that there will be issues, but disregarding myself, there's some pretty great people on this project team. So I think that we're going to be able to get this thing done at a minimal downtime. There's also one thing with Tyler, and I may come back and ask for your blessing on this. They have a users group meeting in April. We don't start implementing stuff until July, and so it may be a worth the project team's while to go out there, actually see a whole bunch of these demos going on, and be able to start planning for this thing. Because as good as we can have it going in, it will just benefit us on the end. So that was my report on that.
So is there a target date when we'd like to completely be changed over now?
It looks like, from Jen, we're going to be pulled over. July 1 of next year. Okay. I mean, we'll be ready to go. I don't know where DevNet is or the assessor stuff is, but hopefully we can. We'll get a report and probably report on that next meeting.
You were down just recently, were you not, in major training sessions?
Yes, this was last week.
Last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it went excellently, and the group spent a lot of time after the meetings were over, just spent a lot of time just kind of saying, you know, first of all, it was like, and then we got to the point where I think we've got a really good plan going forward.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I see that project coordinator Mike Northand showed up. Mike, do you have a report for us today?
Morning, Commissioners. Mike Northam for the record. Just a brief update on the courthouse roof here. Masonry work is underway. You're going to hear those guys and see them up there today throughout this week. They are targeted to be done on the 29th, at which time they're going to switch over to the roof sheeting removal and replacement. As a result of this, approximately the north one-half of this parking lot out here will be cordoned off. And I'm going to verify if the south entrance can be used or not. We're going to see if we can maybe keep that open, but I'll know more about that as we get closer to the 29th. As far as interior work here, materials have been submitted to SHPO. We're looking at probably 2 to 3 weeks, worst case, coming out of them. I will be in touch with them to see what we can do about expediting the material approval. And everything else stands as it does as of my last report.
Okay. Thank you. Great. Thanks, Mike. Sir. Okay. Planning Department, Kathy Canfield, anything today?
Good morning. I was just letting you know that we are starting to work more intensely on the sign ordinance and updating that to make it a little more streamlined, a little more user-friendly. And so we've started, and we had a meeting this last week at the Tourism Commission to meet with some of the property owners that did show up to the meeting and discuss and try to get input from a lot of the property owners along C Street. So if there's anybody in the audience that has some concerns or has comments about that, we'll be presenting that forward, but they're more than happy to be contacted about that. The other item was we received confirmation from the census that our boundary area survey, where we annexed some additional 600 acres from Washoe County into Story County, but that's been, their maps have been updated, so that's good for us. So.
Okay. I think I saw in here we have a first reading on the ordinance on signs today, correct? So any changes between today?
The signs that Austin has been working on are some small cleanup things. Right. That's not part of the overall
okay.
Re-streamlining of it that we're doing.
All right, very good. Thank you. Special Counsel Robert Morse?
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Chief Deputy Keith Lewis?
Nothing today. Thank you.
I have a question for Keith. So you had mentioned a new MOU with the VNT. So are you actually working on that?
Well, we're going to get together with Hugh and Denny and figure out what people want.
Okay.
And go from there.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck, everybody. I'll wait with Miss Stacy. Stacy?
No.
Nothing today? Okay. Whitman, County Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief in the interest of time. Apologize for the delay in the start. And I know we've got some people patiently waiting, like Bruce Larson from Botchica Lubes, Chuck Reno from Far West, and also our friends from UNR on the radon presentation. So real briefly, Jason W. is out, you know, working as always. He provided this update. The new playground equipment was ordered for Louise Perry Park several weeks ago. We anticipate about 2 months for delivery and installation. And I want to especially give a shout out to Commissioner Gilman, who last week came in. I thought Christmas was over, but he fulfilled his pledge and dropped off a personal check for $10,000 to go toward that. So that really cut our expenses down, and playground equipment is very expensive, so thank you, Lance. We're getting ready for what everybody is anticipating could be a fairly significant storm Thursday evening and Friday, making sure his equipment is all ready in both Tri and here in Virginia City. He's actively working with Ames on sewer, and also, again, kind of taking advantage anytime they've got a trench open and we've got water lines alongside sewer lines. We're trying to do water service upgrades wherever we can at the same time when the construction area is closed. Also talked to Mike Nevin. The sewer project is going well. It's still a very large project. And it will be for many, many more weeks. But it's going well considering about so far our only issue for the most part has been some fairly significant historic findings buried in and around E Street. We've had now a couple of those, and each time our programmatic agreements with USDA and others require a fairly extensive process to make notification and approval. We just submitted another one on Friday, and then, of course, it's inevitable. Monday was a holiday, so now we're waiting yet again. But everybody, I think, is playing from the same page between SHPO, BLM, USDA, of course. USDA has been absolutely great. Broadbent, our archaeologist, Ames, and Story County. So we're moving along as best we can. And then last, and I'm not going to belabor this, I think I talked a little bit about it at our last meeting. There's a small work team consisting of Chairman McBride, Justice Harrington, Comptroller Gallagher, and myself, that are actively working at the district court judges urging, you know, to come up with a solution that these chambers would no longer be used for justice court. Pretty much a directive, and we're taking it as such. We seem to have focused on about seven options. The primary preferred option, now that we own the property to the north of the courthouse here, is appearing to be to build a new justice court structure, only maybe with a second floor shell for future growth or repurposing, but to build a justice court right next door contiguous with the courthouse because there are similar, you know, shared functions. And I'm currently working with a handful of contractors on just trying to get ballpark estimates per square foot to let you know they're all over the board right now. I mean, we're looking anywhere from $250 a square to $550 a square. Just depends on which contractor you talk to. I see Eric shaking his head. I'm so impressed with the community center that we are working with Mark Beauchamp and also David. So that's coming along, and that's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Any questions for Pat? Commissioners? None? Okay. Last but not least, County Manager Stevens?
Nothing today.
I'm not sure if you promoted or not.
Okay. I see County Manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. My apologies.
Tag.
Yeah. All right. Okay, that's going to conclude the committee and staff reports. We'll move along now to item number six, board comments. We'll take no action to public comment. Starting here to my far left, Commissioner Gilman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and thank you. I do have a report that I'd like to share this morning. I think it comes under the heading that a lot of talk is very cheap, but actions speak a lot louder than words. So what I'm going to report on this morning is a private and somewhat sensitive conversation that was had with in a development meeting just last week with a very senior management person from Tesla Gigafactory. The meeting was about water. But at the close of the meeting, this particular Tesla individual wanted very much to make a point about how proud and happy that they are in dealing over the last year with Gary Hames and with the county fire department employee, Martin Azevedo. So he discussed at length with us, off the record somewhat, how professional the Story County Building Department and the fire personnel are and have been. They mentioned specifically the responsiveness, the attitude of our folks as being extremely helpful, not cutting corners, not blowing requirements off, but enforcing the codes in a meaningful and helpful way. This coming from an individual that has developed major infrastructure facilities all over the world. And they are building here in our county a 20 million square foot facility. Today they're occupying 8 million feet. Something like over 6,000 employees in the facility today. And so they build 8 million feet of 20 where they're going. It's just it's a biblical-sized project anywhere in the world today and would be a major challenge in any and for inner community. And yet they reached out for Gary and Martin, and I just can't explain to you the praise that they heaped on them. We all had concerns about the reorganization of the plans and our review and our site inspections and our permitting process right at the time we had so much permitting process leaving in business. And you remember Dean Haymore, who had been here for 30 years, and his department was leaving. And so there was a lot of concern about a reorganization plan and how in the world we'd implement it right in the face of how much was going on. And who should take the reins and who'd be responsible for that. And there was a lot of discussion throughout our county and within the courthouse and within the management. But I'm going to tell you, it's worked out absolutely superbly. We couldn't have received more praise to our county. I've seen a lot of data showing that nearly twice, and I think it's approaching twice as many building permits have been processed by the Hames Group, approaching twice over any other year in history. So while all this development's going on and Switch is out there building and Tesla is out there building and Conco is out there building and just a major amount of business, we process twice the numbers with our new group. And I could say we can't be more proud. Processing the permits professionally, diligently, but processing them faster and better. And that means that all the companies can start building sooner. The revenue flows into the county faster. It's a smooth transition. And I'm going to tell you that's a win-win-win in any county in America. And we have that because of our folks here in Story County. And I'm going to tell you it's why the leading companies from around the world are flowing into Story County. And we're about to make some presentation disclosures that will surpass anything else that's happened in the county. And that's imminent, perhaps this week. Credit should go first to Pat Whitten, I'm going to tell you, because I met with Pat, along with Gary and all of the others who were structuring all of this change setup. And, of course, a lot of worry among all of us. And a huge amount of credit has to go to Austin and Kathy and Lindy in the planning department on implementing what was a very, very hard transition with a lot of new folks in a very challenging set of circumstances. And I'm going to think that Austin didn't have a whole lot to work with when he took this over. And credit has to go to Jeff Nevin and, of course, Martin. The Tesla manager we spoke to has worked all over the world, as I mentioned, with hundreds of local governments, and yet this Tesla official felt a need. He was proud to announce how professional our folks are. And I just think that's just real good, and I hope you'll join me in a lot of praise for our folks. Tesla's not the only company that we've talked to who is praising our permitting process and our fire plan review and our inspection process. Story County is now well-known absolutely worldwide as the premier site for global tech company relocation and building. I'm going to tell you that just last week, we had a reporter who was sent here from the global business magazine, The Economist, for those of you that are familiar with the book. It's the number one business magazine in the world. It's based in London, and they are absolutely enchanted with what's happening in our little Story County in northern Nevada. And by the way, while the permit and planning review transition was taking place, Austin and his folks managed to finalize the county master plan, rewrite the county codes regarding subdivision, and draft a design manual. It's absolutely amazing how productive Austin and all of our county development folks have done over the last year. It's absolutely amazing, and it's with a great pride that I get to share this with you. I hope everyone is very, very proud of our Story County and its leadership. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. That's very well said.
Thank you.
Nice to give credit where it's due out there. And thank you for your generosity for the park equipment, too.
Absolutely a pleasure. I like helping the kids and the seniors and the folks.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Vice Chair McGuffey.
Okay. I took a trip last week out to Lockwood to the senior center to donate to the Mustang Cares. I noticed that the bridge in Rainbow Bend, they finally started on that. They had it all dug up, and they were putting a giant boulder riprap in there to shore up the banks and stuff. They had a two-story pile of conduit that they ripped out of the ground there. So it's and they'd only been there a couple days, so they were moving pretty fast on it. So the residents there are really happy that it's moving along now. I also made a run to the Mark Twain Mustang Cares for a donation there. And they're always welcome to anything you can do for them. They're a great bunch down there. One thing that I found a little disturbing, and I'm sorry I'm bringing it up now, but I probably should have just talked to them, is I noticed there's a lot of garbage on the road. Bottles and wrappers and beer cans. It looks like it hasn't been looked at in a while. And I have to say that the same for 341. Now, I travel from Laos Town into town a lot, and it's like, if you pay attention to the water bottles, you can count 20 water bottles between Laos Town and the gas station, to speak of. So it's like, we're a tourist town, so we should kind of look the part, and I think things should be a little cleaner. And that's all I have to
do. Right. Thanks, Commissioner McGuffey. I don't have anything today. So let's move on right now to item number 7, discussion of possible action. This is National Radon Action Month Proclamation. And we have Sherry Nevin, and I think we've got a guest from the UNR. Is it Nadia Knoll?
Nadia
Knoll.
Thank you, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Each January we come before you. It's a National Radon Action Month here in Nevada and nationally. It's become quite an important program here in Story County. I think the number of kits that UNR gives out seems to go up every year. So I'll turn it over to Nadia and let her give you a short presentation. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for making the trek up from Reno.
Yeah, it was pretty. Good morning, everyone else here. Thank you for the opportunity to present information about radon and National Radon Action Month. This proclamation and your support of our service to this area is especially important for all the proclamation states. Because testing is the only way to know if a home has a radon problem, and since January is National Radon Action Month, University of Nevada Cooperative Extension is again offering free test kits statewide from January 1st to February 28th. Test kits will cost $10 after that, so now it's time to get one. Locally, residents can get a free test kit at the Story County Library, hopefully by tomorrow, at a presentation on February 15th at the Story County Senior Center. And that will be at 12:45 p.m., so around lunchtime. In Carson City, residents can get a test kit at the Carson City Cooperative Extension Office, and the Carson Tahoe Center for Resource, or Cancer Center for Resources, and also at a presentation in Carson City at the Senior Center there on January 24th at 6:30 p.m. Testing is especially important in Story County, where 29% of homes that have been tested have an elevated level of radon. The highest level that was found was 9 picocuries per liter of air. The action level was 4, so it's about twice the action level. We have some test kits for the commissioners, and I'll pass out those bags in a moment. If you have already tested recently in the past 2 years, feel free to pass out your test kit to someone else. Like I mentioned before, they're $10, so it's a good value. And if you have friends and family that haven't tested, feel free to, you know, give them a test kit. I also have some free test kit brochures, so anyone in the audience, if you were interested in getting a coupon for a free test kit, I'll just be back there in that corner. You can stop by and get one from me, as well as flyers on the presentations I mentioned in Carson City and Story County. So if you're like, oh, I want to go to that, I have a flyer as well. And then lastly, the last handout is a radon potential map for Story County, so it gives you an idea of the radon levels throughout your county by zip code. So for more information on radon, you can visit www.radonnv.com or call our hotline. It's 1-888-RADON-10, and we can provide any help you might need with radon questions. You can also find us on social media. We're at Nevada Radon Education on Facebook, as well as at Twitter. We're at NV Radon Program. So there's that.
And we also have one other presentation that we just scheduled late last week, and that'll be January 22nd at 1 o'clock in Lockwood at the Communities / Senior Center. So that's plenty of opportunities for people to get to those presentations if they wish. Would you like me to read the proclamation?
Sure. I have a question first. Is how often do you recommend that that we test for radon in our homes?
So it's recommended that you test every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
So if you're going to remodel, you want to test before you remodel and after. If there's a major earthquake, you want to test after the earthquake, because earthquakes can open new pathways beneath your home for radon to enter. And then also, lastly, is if you're going to sell your home, you want to test it. So, you know, it sounds like a lot of international companies are coming here. People from other countries and states know about radon, so you want to know your level to prepare to answer that question to the buyer.
Very good. All right. Sherry, if you'll read the proclamation.
Okay. It's quite lengthy, so bear with me. A proclamation declaring January 2018 as National Radon Action Month in Story County, Nevada. Whereas many Story County residents don't know about radon, yet need to know for the safety and health of their families, as radon is a colorless, odorless, naturally occurring radioactive gas that is the primary cause of lung cancer among non-smokers, the second leading cause of lung cancer in smokers, and whereas the U.S. EPA estimates 21,000 people in the U.S. die each year from lung cancer caused by indoor radon exposure, and lung and bronchial cancer kill more people a year than any other cancer, and whereas radon kills more people than secondhand smoke, drunk driving, choking, drowning, or home fires, and whereas any home in Story County may have elevated levels of radon, even if neighboring homes do not, and living in a home with an average radon level of 4 picocuries per liter of air poses a risk similar of developing lung cancer as smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day, and whereas testing is the only way to know if a home has an elevated radon level, and testing is easy and inexpensive, and when identified, homes can be fixed, and whereas University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency support efforts to encourage all Story County residents to test their homes for radon, mitigate elevated levels of radon, and have new homes built with radon-reducing materials and features. Now, therefore, we, you, Story County Board of Commissioners, do hereby proclaim January 2018 as National Radon Action Month in Story County.
Thank you, Sherry. Is there any public comment regarding this proclamation? Yes.
Okay. I found something on the web for a public comment. Take a look.
Where in Story County was that building four times actionable?
Twice the actionable award. And I have the map here. If you want to grab one, I'll go back there. Or you can look at that one. So you can look at the levels.
Thank you.
And the massive end of code.
And if we could get a quick photo with Nadia,
sure,
and the commission,
sure.
They like to put that on their website and our social media pages.
Okay. Any other further comment?
Do that real quick.
Public? Hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve this.
I'll move to proclaim January 2018 as National Radon Action Month in Story County.
I'll second your motion.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Sure. Step up here. Grab it.
We're going a little bit further. Do you want the podium in front or not?
Oh, probably not, but...
Yeah, why don't you guys stand over here? Come on over here.
Oh, yeah.
Wide angle
when you came over here.
No comment. Thanks for noticing. Pointing that out.
I mean, these are just the bags of test kits and some great information to read on for you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me give this to you. Thanks again for coming up. All right. Next up is item number 8. This is discussion of possible action.
Who's going to have all this up here? Denny.
Denny is? Great. This is a resolution honoring Bruce and Linda Larson of Boccia Kaloops as the 2017 Story County Business of the Year. We were hoping to get this in at the end of 2017, but the timing just wasn't right, so we're going to go ahead and do it today.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Denny Dotson, and you know, knowing and appreciating what it takes to put on a business here in today's economy and the competitiveness that's out there, it's quite a feat for a lot of folks. And each year, Story County likes to recognize one individual, one business, and award them our Business of the Year, if you will. And this is based, an award that is selected by our county commission input, county manager, department heads, and the board of the Tourism Commission. Some of the things that the selection committee takes into consideration while looking for this particular individual each year are leadership and entrepreneurship, product and market innovations, significant business achievement, excellence in community relations or contributions, environmental conscientiousness, customer service reliability, high standard of employee relations, contributes to the economic health and welfare of Story County, successfully filling a marketplace need. Now, we don't generally use all of these, but they are things that we take into consideration. With the 2017 award winner, we thought that, for many years, there have been many people that have come up before this board, many people that have stood up on podiums, that have received recognition for awards of retirement, to a job well done, to winning some prize in the oyster eating contest on C Street. And there's been one common denominator, and that's been the trophy that these people hold. There's a place in Virginia City that has a strong regional recognition for the quality and the service of the products that they've been producing for over 20 years. So with that, it was pretty easy thinking about all those people that have stood up there with these wonderful awards that staff recommend to the county that Bruce and Linda Larson and Boccia Kaloops be nominated as a 2017 Story County Business of the Year.
Great.
So with that, I'd like Bruce Larson is here today. This isn't as pretty as what did you guys make for us, but it'll have to do. Is there a resolution for you and an award?
Yeah, thank you, Danny.
Yeah, if you wanted to say anything or not there, but we can, Mr. Chairman, did you want to read the resolution, or would you like me to?
Go right ahead, since you've got it.
Okay. And then if I wouldn't mind, I would get a photo as well with the commissioners and Mr. Larson here. This would be a resolution honoring Bruce and Linda Larson, Botcha Galoops, as of the 2017 Story County Business of the Year, whereas this award will be given to a Story County business or organization that has shown significant contributions towards the economic stability in Story County, whereas Bruce and Linda Larson and Botcha Galoots have shown nearly 20 years of extraordinary entrepreneurship, market innovation, strong community relations, and contributions towards fulfilling a needed service here in Virginia City. Therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Bruce and Linda Larson and Botcha Galoops for their continued and exemplary service to the people of Story County.
Great. Thank you, Danny. We'll open up for any public comment.
I have something.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I just want to add, I think today's demonstrative of Story County in a really, really cool way. You've got Commissioner Gilman talking about the behemoth Tesla. Been here for 2.5 years now, just about. But now we're also recognizing, I think, what is truly great about our country and about our state and about our county is we've got probably one of the smallest, the true epitome of mom and pop operations that have been doing this type of business for 20 years, Danny, did you say? And I can't think of a better selectee and honoree to do that. So congratulations, Bruce. And
thank
congratulations
you,
to Linda as well.
I will pass it on. Yeah, who knew? When we started this in 1999, where we'd end up, we should have started a little sooner because we're getting a little old for as busy as we are. But it's been good. We're proud to put out a good product. We're proud to work with the county. We're very proud to work with Made in Nevada, who we've been members of since 2003. They've been a huge help to us along the way, getting us in front of the legislature and many places that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. But Denny talked to Linda early December, I guess, and said he apologized that they had cheated on us and not got an award made for the Business of the Year this year because we were the Business of the Year. And honestly, we hadn't noticed because we were so busy we didn't even notice it. That they haven't contacted, so I guess that's a good thing. But thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I've been a recipient of some of your products, and I've also purchased some of your products, yes. And the quality is just amazing.
Thank you.
It's hard to believe it's made right here in town.
Thank you.
Well, you'll see Bruce and Linda's work all over the state. You'll see it in government offices in Carson City. You'll see it here in the courthouse. You'll see his product being sold at the Bucket of Blood Saloon. For those of you who might not know Bruce is a native Comstocker, hot water plug. He went to school. I actually went to school with Bruce for a period of time, played basketball with him. I was in the fire department with Bruce. Bruce is retired from the Story County Sheriff's office, so... he maintains a Victorian up on the mountain behind us here. So his roots are deep here on the Comstock. So. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I
got to
get a motion.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. Now if I can get a motion.
Okay. I have a motion. I'll make a motion for a resolution honoring Bruce and Linda Larson and Botcha Galoops as the 2017 Story County Business of the Year.
I have a motion.
Second the motion.
I've got a motion. I've got a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Let's jump up. Grab it.
Yeah, I got it. We'll get you on that.
Okay, moving along now to item number 9. This is discussion and possible action. Review and possible approval of reimbursable costs through the voucher program payable to TRI Center for its extension of Milan Drive in the amount of $825,647.23, which amount includes an overage of $28,921 over the estimated cost previously approved.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a disclosure that I have a pecuniary interest in the in this issue, and I think that using the better part of discretion, that I'll recuse myself from conversation or voting on the issue.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have before you for review and possible approval of infrastructure costs for the extension of Milan Drive in the amount of $825,647.23. You also have in your packet from a meeting from the September 1, 2015, where we pre-approved an amount of $796,725. We are looking for the additional $28,921, and I have with me Mr. Checarino, who is the project managed for this for Far West Engineering, and I will tell you this is a tremendous improvement over what we had to do several years ago with Mr. Haymore and his staff and my staff going through probably no less than 50,000 invoices after the fact to trying to figure out exactly what we were going to do to get to the $42 million I think that we came up with. So the cart before the horse is no more. We made a initial plan with Jeremy Sergel, as you may remember, and it was a success. So this is a tremendous improvement as to what we've done. Everything is pre-approved. It is approved by you, and you are now asked to put in the award of the overages, which some of it was recommended by Mike Nevin at that point in time for some improvements on that. And so consequently, I'll have for you, Chuck can probably give you a little overview of what he does, how this process goes, and then I'll ask for you to approve the overages.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Chuck Reno, Senior Engineer at Far West Engineering, for the record. So this is kind of an older project. It was built, went out into bid in August of 2015. We went through a process where some of the improvements had been made prior to that and prior to Far West involvement. We analyzed the invoices. They first came in at approximately $3.1 million, and through review and through discussions with Mike Nevin at the time and Pat and others, that cost estimate or approval of some of those invoices went down to about $1,100,000. We put in a cost estimate in July of 2015, estimating the cost to be around $1,063,600, and then we went out to bid. We got that approved, and we went out to bid. The bids came in. There were 7 bidders, which was excellent, and the bid ranged from $653,000 up to $832,000, with the lowest bidder being F&P Construction, and F&P was $108,975 less than Granite, which was the next closest bidder. Subsequently went out to award, and F&P constructed the project. Now, understand that the voucher is only for the surface improvements, all underground, and that's why most of that 3.1 was rejected, because there was it was intermixed with underground and some non-prevailing wage. So this went out as a prevailing wage project and was constructed in accordance with that. Subsequently, it went to construction. The material cost went over about $19,000, and that was for asphalt installed, and that's confirmed against the tickets of the asphalt that was placed. And Far West was the inspectors on that, and we did inspection services, and it was approved through the process, or at least authorized to keep construction with Mike Nevin and so forth in the building or the Public Works Department. About $10,000 of the dollars is overage that is paid to Far West, and that was about $7,000 in surveying and $3,000 in engineering costs for guardrails or guideposts along the road that was requested during the process. And so that's kind of where we are here. Moving forward, we've had discussions with Keith and Hugh and Gary Hames on making sure that we have a good streamlined process for the reimbursement so that everybody knows the rules moving forward so that we get a good, solid quality product for the county at the best price. I'm happy to answer any questions about what's presented here.
When was the project completed?
The project was completed in the spring of 2015. And then it took a lot of time to get some paperwork in order as far as some records. It took quite a while. So
I think 16.
Was it 16?
I could be mistaken. It's taken almost a year.
Oh, 16, yeah. 16.
It's taken almost a year to get the paperwork together?
Yeah. Well, there was requesting, and there was some information from Nortec that was not getting provided quickly, and some invoice information.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, as far as cost overruns go, it doesn't look like it's out of line for a percentage basis. What'd you say?
Yeah. Yes.
Jack, any questions regarding this?
No.
Okay. We'll open up for public comment. Is there a public comment regarding this item?
And I will state I do have a responsibility as the administrator for the Public-Private Partnership Capital Improvement Plan under our development agreement. And not only Chuck, but our comptroller and our legal counsel have done such a great job structuring this that I certainly recommend approval.
Okay. And since we're getting it dialed in, maybe it'll take less than a year on the next
We're already working on boilerplates between Tri's attorney, Mr. Loomis, Chuck. We're darn close to having it dialed in.
All right. Once again, any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, the staff's recommendation to approve this. So if I get a motion for approval.
Per staff's recommendation, I hereby approve the infrastructure costs for the extension of Milan Drive in the amount of $825,647.23.
Second your motion. We move to second to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Reno. All right. Welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. Moving along now to item number 10, discussion and possible action. Review and possible approval of agreement with DIEVU Solution Services, LLC, to provide 18 body cameras and associated services to the Story County Sheriff's Office for a subscription fee of $47 per month per camera, an approximate total of amount of $15,000. Sheriff Antonoro.
This is the contract that we brought forward a couple of meetings ago that the district attorney's office been working with the provider to hash out. We had the three bids. This was the company that we had offered to go to. My understanding now from the district attorney's office, they're happy with the language as it's been written in the contract, and we would again recommend the approval of this contract, remembering that this was not something that was pre-plugged into our budget, but knowing that it was going to be mandated by the state by July 1st.
Right. Mr. Lewis?
Commissioners, what I wanted to say was I requested about 11 changes to the contract. ViView accepted 9 of those, and they are incorporated in the contract, and I'm prepared to recommend approval as it exists today.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I do have one question, if I may.
Go ahead.
Sheriff or Chief, the contract specifically says 5-year agreement. The old estimate was 3 years. I just want the record to be clear. We are looking at 5 years for the $50,000, correct?
The cost that is on here is based on the 5 years. The stuff we had last time, that was one of the errors in the contract, but we have been looking at 5 years. The initial proposal was 3-year with a 24-month add-on, which made it the 5, but, yes, it's same, basically the same cost.
It's a great solution.
And I might add that one of the provisions that we added is paragraph 9.2, which there is a statute that prohibits a contract lasting beyond the terms of office of the commissioners approving it unless the contract is funded in the budget. And so this has a provision for termination for non-appropriation, which is very common in government contracts.
Okay, but in the sheriff's next budget, if he goes ahead and puts in, is this going to be an annual payment, or is it going to be a one-shot payment right now?
The options have been left open for us. We can do annual payments. We can do a one-time payment.
Okay.
We can do monthly payments. They said, however, it works out best for us to do. So I would probably defer to the comptroller's office as far as what is the best way of handling that.
Well, if we spread it out, it's probably more feasible. And then if you budgeted that going forward, then it could exceed the term limits, right?
If it's funded on an annual basis, then it has to be approved in the budget each of the 5 years. If you chose in year 4 not to fund it, then the contract terminates without liability.
Gotcha.
So in the absence of the comptroller, it would be staff's recommendation that we pay no more frequently than annual. That way we've got the off provisions that the deputy DA has crafted.
Okay. That sounds good. All right, we'll open up for public comment. Anybody want to talk about body cameras? Mr. Phillips.
Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. I love body cameras. Hands up, don't shoot. It's great. I love seeing it on the news, and I believe it holds citizens and sheriff and police departments responsible. It's a great program. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I have a question to, I guess, Keith. On the recommended motion, it's saying approve expenditure. Are we approving the contract as well?
You are, yes.
Okay, so we're both, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, I want to thank the sheriff. He's been great to work with. When legislation was going through in the session earlier this year, we knew we couldn't dodge it. We knew we didn't want to dodge it for some of the reasons Mr. Phillips has pointed out. But this was looking initially to be a very, very costly proposition. As you'll recall, NACO was trying to get some funding provisions in there. Mary Walker was trying to get some funding provisions in there. And for $10,000 a year annually for a 5-year law, you've done a great job, Joe.
I'll go ahead and get a motion to approve this.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve both the contract and the expenditure for the purpose of body cameras for the Story County Sheriff's Office that are outside the projected budget for fiscal year 17-18 and augment the budget accordingly.
I'll second the motion.
We're moving to second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Alrighty. Up next is item number 11. This is discussion of possible action. Second reading for general business license. Applicant is Carol Malley, owner of Virginia City RV Park, LLC, located at 355 North F Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Sheriff Antonoro.
We've completed the background investigation on the applicant. There's nothing that would deny her, so we'd recommend approval of the business license.
Very good. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none?
Yeah. You know, I was just down there the other day and met them for the first time. They're a nice couple. They're really doing a lot to clean up the grounds there. Place is looking great. I guess they have they're working on maybe putting in a little cafe or something in there and moving the store. And so they got a lot of plans to change it up. So I wish them well.
Good.
Maybe we're looking at the 2018 business year.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
We haven't had a top operator down in quite a while.
Forever, as far as I know.
Okay. How about a motion to approve this?
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the second reading, a general business license for Carol Valley, owner of the Virginia City RV Park, LLC, located at 355 North F Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
Second your motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the general business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Okay. At this time, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board, bringing up item number 13 with discussion of possible action. The second reading for off-sale liquor license applicant is Carol Malley, owner of Virginia City RV Park, LLC, located at 355 North F Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Sheriff Antonoro.
Stated under the previous item, nothing has been discovered during the background investigation that would preclude this applicant from being granted a license. She does have experience, having had a couple of previous businesses, at least one of which served alcoholic beverages, and she seems to be in good standing with the Utah State Liquor Board, which they can be buggers on occasion. So don't anticipate any problems at all, and we'll recommend approval.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding this licensing? All right. Commissioners, can you get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the second reading of off-sale liquor license for Carol O'Malley, owner of Virginia City RV Park, LLC, located at 355 North F Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
Second your motion.
And move to second to approve the off-sale liquor license for the Virginia City RV Park. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff. Okay, at this time we're going to adjourn as the Story County Liquor License Board and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners.
Eric, yeah, if you don't want to hang around, I can catch up with you later.
Item 15 is next up, discussion. And it's a workshop, but it's going to take no action. This is discussion of administrative policies to give the county manager either significant job duties or the responsibility for making sure the policies are approved by the board and are followed by staff. Do you want to take a little recess? Okay. We're going to go ahead. We'll go ahead and recess for about 5 to 10 minutes.